be able to do that and say, all that stuff stopped with me. Yes. You don't have to do that anymore.
Yes. Oh, I love that. I'm not going to cry. I'll cry in the car. Hey.
I'll be on the train.
I got to go. No, okay. All right. I love you. This is Medicine Bundle. We'll be back next Friday. And we'll see you soon. Giga Wobbleman. How am I pretending? Resi when I'm booked on the red. How am I pretending? I'm blood condoms in the red. Got a tribal ID if you want to act like the feds. Supposed to be a gorilla to let me show you what that is.
Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis, or online at KFAI.org. Well, so am I. Yeah, me too.
Shouldn't everybody?
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them, and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Hallucination.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hit me, cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, we are so happy to have Minnesota State Representative Heather Keeler on again, and it's always an awesome show, and you always are so well-spoken, and I know our listeners have really missed you, and it's really great to have you for the whole show, and we're going to catch up, and again, welcome State Representative Heather Keeler.
Thanks. I'm so glad you didn't call me the senator. I feel like we used to have this issue all the time, right? And that'll never happen. So
it's early.
It is really early. Good. Yeah, it's good to be back with you and just with the community. I've said this for the 6 years that I've been doing this show off and on with you that, wow, it's crazy to think it's been 6 years, right? A little over five, but this is community. And as I think we'll get into, we've been dealing with a lot as elected officials, especially in the House of Representatives with the loss of Melissa Hortman. And so it's good to get back here with you, talk about the stuff we talk about and lean into the truth.
Yeah, definitely. And I know right on that day that this was all happening, a lot of people reached out to you, including me, to make sure you were safe because we just didn't know what was going on. And the same day we had that big protest at the Capitol, and I think they wanted to call it off, and I think more people showed up. There was like 80,000 people there, and a lot of it had to do with we're not going to be intimidated.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's terrifying. I'll still be honest. Like I've been on meetings today, still talking about, you know, the trauma response, because that's what we're in. And to be honest, it's a little bit disheartening that it feels like the media in general just kind of forgot about it. And we're normalizing these like really high level political violence actions and harm to individuals for speaking up for what we believe is right. And, you know, really doing our work to try to create a good world and a good Minnesota for not only our generations now, but in the future. And so, yeah, it's been a really, really hard couple weeks. It's been devastating. It's rocked us to a core. But I think one thing I know about being an Indigenous woman is we have to, you know, lean into our resiliency and continue to show up, because though it's traumatic and heartbreaking, we still have a really important job to do for Minnesota, and we can't live in fear and run away from the work. So we're here, we're healing, we're really vulnerable, but we're dedicated to the work to serve Minnesota.
Well, what's mind-blowing to me is that you have a full-time job that pays part-time. And like you said, you were just in a meeting today. You are still working for the people. And that's just, I just want to throw out there, I am grateful that, you know, you are who you are and how you work and how you stand up for yourself and for your people.
Yeah, I think it's important to understand, like, how our legislature works. You know, it's interesting. I didn't even really know it, right? I say often, like, had I known what I was getting into, I probably would have never ran. I just accidentally landed here. You know, I said I was marching on the streets to yell at somebody to do something, and then I became part of the somebody to do something. But it's a part-time salary. You know, many of us have had to leave our full-time jobs, take massive pay cuts to do this job. It's a public service job, which then makes it hard, you know, because we're in session half the year, and then to kind of work another part of the year is hard when we have an obligation to our constituents and to our state to be doing this job full time. I know that there is a conversation that's constantly happening about being a full time legislature in Minnesota, because our budget alone, the amount of money that we have to spend, the amount of individuals that we have to serve, you know, we go into special session almost regularly to work on the budget. I think that we could continue to do work within agencies, with our communities, to just continue the good work that we have to do. But yeah, and now, you know, you add the added risk of just our life and our safety doing this job. You know, to be a public servant, we take a massive pay cut. But also, you know, the reality is I've been talking about the threats that come our way since the day I got sworn in. The reality is that these threats are just becoming more real, and they're coming to, you know, our homes. And so I think out of all of this, you know, we always say, like, reach out to your elected official or tell your state representative about your issue. But I think also, like, right now, reach out to your elected official and just tell them thank you for serving. Thank you for doing this work for the community. Thank you for being a voice. Like, I think that it's good to remember that your elected officials, whether it's school board, county commission, city council, they're all humans. They're all parents. They're all Minnesotans just like you. And so, you know, yelling at us is fine sometimes, but I think right now telling us that that you care and that you know, you appreciate the work that we're doing is probably really needed.
Yeah, definitely. And I really appreciate you. And I know people that know you and how hard you work and how you stand up for yourself and for your people is just, you know, heartwarming to us. And it's funny too, that you mentioned that 6 years ago that we started this journey on the radio show, and you were talking a little bit about how you came about running for Minnesota State Representative. We were doing those Sunday night symposiums all over Turtle Island, getting 20, 30,000 people, and your name came up. And then we were able to get you on once that whole, the people were really excited that you did make that turn and run. I don't know if you want to tell that story again. It was pretty darn amazing. and I heard about you before I met you, and that was really cool.
Yeah, it is kind of crazy. And I think, like, the, you know, every cycle that I'm in my campaign, I meet new people, and it feels like a lot of people live in this assumption that you have to be, like, trained to be a politician. And the truth is, like, I just think I was a mom who saw issues. I was an Indian education liaison who actually just wanted to celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day in my school. And my superintendent told me, no, that'll never happen. And I'm kind of feisty, believe it or not. And I just don't take no very well as an answer. And I really dug into like, what would turn your no to a yes? And kind of looked me flat in the face and said, well, you'd have to make it a city recognized or state recognized holiday for us to ever do anything in the school district. And I kind of took that as like challenge accepted. I think he thought he just kind of put me in my place and we wouldn't have this conversation any longer. And so at the same time, I was really in the fight to stop line three and then have our kids be seen in the education system. And so I just kind of yelled around. I was getting my master's at the time and did my practicum in academic barriers to academic success. Like, why weren't our students graduating from high school? And lack of representation, food insecurities, and homelessness were the number one reasons. And so I was going to run for school board. And right. I think the part of the story that's really important is that 20 women in my community reached out to me and really led me into thinking that I could run and win this seat. And I think that's a really powerful statement, because community matters, how we support each other as Native people, how we support each other as women, just as humans in this work. Like, it took other people to lean into me, to really lift me up, to decide to run. And so that's why I did it. It was crazy. I just wanted our kids to be recognized. I want to end homelessness, and I want to feed Minnesota, and I want to be kind at Winchimaca. And so that's what I did. And wildly, I won, and I've been serving now in the middle of my third term.
Wow. Hey, that's a great story. Hey, we're here with State Representative of the great state of Minnesota, Heather Keeler, and we're going to be right back. We're going to take a quick short break. This is Native Roots Radio. Ho-wa.
To our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come, we are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us, thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time, starting in 1492.
To those who have kept their homelands and to the nations extinct due to mass slaughter, slavery, deportation, and disease unknown to them, and to the ones who are subjected to the same treatment today.
To the ones who survived the relocations and the ones who died along the way.
To those who carried on traditions and lived strong among their people.
To those who left their communities by force or by choice and through generations no longer know who they are.
To those who search and never find. To those that turn away the so-called non-accepted. To those that bring us together. And to those living outside, keeping touch, the voice for many.
To those that make it back to live and fight the struggles of their people, to those that give up and those who do not care, to those who abuse themselves and others, and those who revive again, to those who are physically, mentally, or spiritually incapable by accident or by birth.
Aho! This is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka, hecha, wecha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. We are here with Minnesota State Representative Heather Keeler, our great friend. And geez, I didn't realize it was 6 years. We've been on the air this is our ninth season. So that really, really does make sense. I know we want to kind of pay respect to Melissa, and you wanted to talk a little bit about Melissa Hartman, and we have a clip too we want to play. Take it away, Heather. Welcome back.
Yeah. I feel like this is a hard conversation to have, so I can imagine that this is not going to be easy for me, but you know, I think we have to talk about who Representative Melissa Hartman was and the work that she did. I know that often in the news we've been really talking about the work that she did as an entirety in her speakership, but also just as a representative. She was wonderful. But she also was somebody who really stood up for tribal relations. And I think that, you know, the work that I do coming in, I serve on MIAC, which is the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council. I really have helped launch our members going out to tribal visits, but also understanding what the urban Indian community looks like and the needs that we have uniquely. But Melissa was a powerhouse when it comes to like what allyship with tribal nations and indigenous people actually looks like. We don't see that often in politics. And, you know, we've talked to tribal leaders the last couple of weeks to really prove that like this is not a common thing. Melissa was going out and having deep rooted relationships with tribal leaders. But one of the things that she launched that many of us really believe is something we're going to continue to do is to have Sovereignty Day in the state capitol. When she was elected Speaker of the House, she thought it was really important to honor and bring in our tribal leaders into our chamber together. Because she understood the responsibility that we have to serve on Native land. You know, Minnesota is 100% ceded treaty territory with 11 tribal nations, and that's important work. And so she worked very hard to do this. Unfortunately, you know, because of the tie this year, we didn't have control of the House chamber, and the Senate took it on. And what I believe, they just totally botched it. If I can be transparent, they just were not put us in a committee room on the side and didn't give it the honor that we tend to give it in the House. But she made a statement that I go back and I listen to a lot. And the message that we're not all going to be here forever. And the work that we do has to have a legacy, meaning to it. And I believe that the legacy she did was leading us all to have better tribal relations. And so, Robert, if you want to play, it's about a 5-minute clip, but I think it's worth one just to hear her voice and to hear her message and to share that with all of you. But it's powerful and it's meaningful. So if we can all take a listen.
Thank you, Speaker DeMuth. And next we will hear from Speaker Melissa Hortman from the Minnesota House of Representatives.
Yeah, I'm your bonus speaker for today, Speaker Emerita. Representative DeMuth is Speaker of the House. It's good to be here. I want to talk a little bit about that we should think about Sovereignty Day, where we've been and where we're going. You know, we started this in 2019, and it was an outgrowth of my work as a minority leader. I became a minority leader in 2017, and I began visiting our tribal nations as a minority leader. And I found that I was ignorant, and I didn't know what I needed to know. And as a result, I knew that there were other legislators who didn't know what they needed to know about the various perspectives of our very different tribal nations. And the lady leaders helped me a lot. Chief Executive Melanie Benjamin, Chairwoman Kathy Chavers, and President Shelley Buck kind of wrapped their arms around me a little bit and helped me along my development of being a lady leader too, and doing the collaborative work. And I think the Dayton Smith administration was doing a decent job. They were continuing an executive order of consultation that started with the Pawlenty administration. I think the Dayton administration was doing better. But still, we weren't where we needed to be because the executive branch is one part of state government, but the legislature is a pretty important other branch of state government. And if there was no consultation at the legislative level, and we were putting the bills on the governor's desk that would become the law, then the laws wouldn't really reflect consultation. So I thought we needed to move forward on legislative consultation. And what also struck me is, as a leader of my caucus, I might not always be here. And so it didn't just matter if I had relationships with the tribal governments around the state, but what mattered was that the whole caucus had relationships. And back in 2017, 2018, Representative Peggy Flanagan was just a member of the House of Representatives, and we were hanging out, and we thought, you know, we should do something like Sovereignty Day. We should bring the tribal leaders to the floor of the Minnesota House and have everybody hear what we're hearing. And we weren't able to make that happen until 2019 when we won the House. And I'm just so proud of that we started Sovereignty Day and that it keeps going. When I heard about it on Minnesota Public Radio this morning, they talked about it like it had always been here. Well, let's make sure it is always here. And so that our... so that the people who come after us, when none of us at the table are still serving our communities as leaders, But the people who come next are still having conversations with each other and still building relationships with each other. And of course, this doesn't happen without the staff that does the incredible hard work of pulling it together. On my team, Kevin Lobbins has been in touch with everybody through the years, keeping us connected. And I'm just so grateful to him for the work. We've all also started learning more through tribal state relations training. And I know the House DFL caucus has been up to one at Fortune Bay. We've been to one at Prairie Island. But I would say to legislative members, we will be putting those opportunities in front of you. Sovereignty Day is just a day. It's a beginning. It's a start of your journey of education. And there's a lot more to learn. And tribal state relations is another time when tribal leaders take time out of their schedule and sacrifice for our benefit to help us learn. And so I think it's incumbent upon us to put as many people in those rooms as possible to get that knowledge from these tribal leaders who are going out of their way to help us learn. So the last thing I'll say is we have a long ways to go. So we now have relationships, we have familiarity. I'm not scared of Chairman Siki anymore like I used to be. I'm not scared of Chairman Jensvold like I used to be. But knowing each other well enough to call each other and to work on bills together isn't an end. There's a lot more work to do. And legislators need to keep listening. We need to listen better. We've done better in legislation, and we need to do more as the months and years go by. But thank you so much to the tribal leaders for all the travel and the time commitment you make to help us become educated. Thank you.
Wow. That was beautiful, Heather. Thanks for sharing that with us.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy because, like, I remember that day and I remember just some of the frustrations we had about the day. And, you know, then when you go back and you really listen to her words and the message to us, it's just really clear that we all still have a lot of work to do. And I think, again, she proved what allyship can really look like. You know, when you lean into honest relationships, when you, I love that she referenced the lady leaders, because I think really in our community, the matriarchs really are leaders in our community. And often, you know, we don't lift each other up very well. And so I think she did a really good job at lifting up, you know, the leaders that we've had as women that have served and the partnerships there. But yeah, her call for all of us to continue to do this work resonates pretty deep.
Yeah. Geez. I know you're good friends with her and it's just really, you watch something like that and you're just going, oh my God, what a sad waste.
Yeah, I think it's hard too, you know, Robert, because people don't understand, I think, like, how close we are in this work. You know, there's only 67 of us, 70 of us, depending on the year. So, you know, that, like, go from our communities to do this work. We sit in long hours. You know, I've told you, like, there's days that we work 16 to 18 hours working on legislation and committee work and on the floor, and we get deep in the trenches with this. And so it's been a really unique personal process because, you know, she was a good friend of mine. We sat and, you know, we had tea pretty regularly, just talked about life, talked about the difference in, you know, I have young children doing this work. Her children were more grown. But like why we got into this work, you know, she really deeply cared about the environment and making sure that we had a lot of trees in Minnesota, you know, those were like big goals of hers and just getting to know her, but also just spending the time out on the road in greater Minnesota. Not a lot of people take the time to come out here. I laugh because a lot of my colleagues who live in the city, it's like, if I ask them to go past Maple Grove, they're like finding a dog sitter and packing, you know, their toothbrush. And it's like us out here, we'll go 4 hours round trip. Not a big deal. And so she did that. And so she was a phenomenal person. And I think we need to remember the work that she did and the work that she wants us to all continue to do. And I think that's for all of you. You all work in some sort of capacity that, you know, should be having some sort of positive tribal relations. And I think we can all learn from her example and do better in whatever lane we're working in.
Well, what's I want to mention too, what I didn't know is that she was really standing for our relatives with hooves and tails, and our dogs and our family, which are to us are our family members. And you can just tell by just that how great of a soul she had and that she's leaving us. Hey, we're here with State Representative Heather Keeler, and we got a couple more segments. We're catching up, and this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Hey, this is that guy in the hat inviting you to step up to the bar for the Ultrasonic Gin and Tonic. I'll be your audio mixologist every Friday from 8 to 10 p.m., shaking up a tasty blend of house, lounge, trance, chill out, electro swing, spy-fi, and new jazz with a twist or two to give it just the right touch. Always smooth, never bitter, I'll ease you out of your work week and pick you up for the weekend. Check out the Ultrasonic Gin and Tonic, Fridays from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on KFAI 90.3 FM and at KFAI.org. First round's on me.
Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, yeah, welcome back, everyone. We are here with State Representative Heather Keeler, and we're playing catch-up, and we haven't talked to the state's, I almost said it, State Ooh, Representative.
You almost said it. Don't do it.
Oh, geez. If people haven't been listening over the years, I often introduce State Representative Heather Keeler as State Senator and then sometimes even Governor, but we won't go there right now. But so it's always a slip of the tongue. And, you know, I'm 64 now, Heather, so I got, you know, sometimers. Sometimes I remember and sometimes I forget. But I wrote it down today, so I thought I was doing good. Hey, let's catch up a little bit about the end of the session, and we talk about, you know, you're a full-time job, so really, was it the end of the session? Let's play a little catch up on what's happening up at the Capitol right now, or at the end of session.
Yeah, I feel like we haven't really caught up on, like, the work that we did, right? Because the truth is, the session was really wonky. You know, I mean, I try to tell people, I know the assassination of Melissa has really taken over the conversation for right reasons. But this year was a really weird year in the legislature to begin with. As you remember, we argued at the beginning of session about what quorum is. The Democrats decided to stay out and deny quorum until we could come and, you know, to the legal understanding so that we can move forward. And so that kind of created a new kind of environment for us that we've not had. We had to work in a bipartisan way. We had co-chairs, co-vice chairs, like it was just a very unique space. And so we had to work together. And so there's, when we talk about the wins that we got this year, Robert, it wasn't like it was last term. You know, when we had the trifecta, we just did all the things that we've been working on for over a decade. This year, it looked really different because I think the wins are really like hidden in the things we were able to protect. We made some really big investments 3 years ago that we didn't have to make reductions on. Now there are some major things that we had to change. I think the biggest thing and the hardest thing for many of us was a couple years ago, we opened up our healthcare options for undocumented individuals in the state of Minnesota. We know that they pay taxes. We know that they're our neighbors. We know that they deserve the human right to have access to healthcare. Unfortunately, you know, from the bipartisan approach, and I'll say from our Senate, you know, though we're in the Democratic Senate majority, they function very differently than the House. I think we believe things a little bit differently in the House than our Senate colleagues do, because we had some members of the DFL party actually vote in favor of eliminating health care for undocumented adults. So that is the heart-wrenching part of this. In partnership with all the federal fallout has been really, really hard. And so I do, though, want to sort of shift because we did get some wins that I think we've been working pretty consistently on. You know, just in the work that I sit on, I'm the vice chair of human services. I also sit on the health committee, and then I serve on the education policy committee. And this year I was in an elected position as an assistant leader. So that's kind of been a whole thing. But, you know, we got more money into our safe harbor movement, which for those of you who maybe aren't familiar, safe harbor is our sex trafficking programming here. It's what we use to support the victims of sex trafficking in the state of Minnesota. We believe if you're a trafficked youth, you are the victim, and you deserve to be treated appropriately, not a criminal and not criminalized. And so we've been able to put more money into navigators across the state, because we know higher levels of sex trafficking for our youth are actually in the northwest corner of Minnesota. You know, it's not just a metro area thing. We also made more investments in our Homeless Youth Act. Also working with our Urban Indian partners over at IHB, you know, depending on what Medicaid does, having traditional healing be an option that we can cover. Working with Lower Sioux to add CPTSD into some of the work that we're able to do out with our county workers, because, you know, we as Native people obviously have historical trauma that come into play. And then we were able to protect some of the work that we've done around tribal aid and making sure that we, you know, stop some really yucky things happening to our environment around helium and water protections. We're just trying our best to do some of that. So I know it's not like big fancy things that we did this year, but really we're just doing our best to protect the things that we've, that we were able to move forward on in the last couple of years. So food insecurities is also a thing that I think we need to talk a lot about. With the massive reductions in SNAP at the federal level, we really have to lean into food shelves, food banks, and food sovereignty. And I've been doing a lot of work around birth justice and making sure that we know healthy nursing opportunities is food insecurity, is addressing food insecurities. And so doing a lot of that work. And then last, I'll say there was a huge bummer. You know, there's a lot of huge bummers that are coming down from the feds, but just the huge hit that it's taking to specifically tribal focused supports, queer focused, LGBTQ focused supports, like 988 completely eliminated their option for the LGBTQ population to help with those services. And so, yeah, that's kind of a real quick update in a nutshell on what we were able to do and what we hope to continue to do. But, you know, it's an ongoing effort and we have to really stay in these seats and hopefully get that majority back.
Yeah, definitely. And when is your cycle coming up to run again?
Well, you know, in the House, we just love elections, I guess, because we run every 2 years. It feels like we're just always sort of an election cycle. And so we're in the interim right now, but then, you know, next November is our election again. And so right now we're deep in the weeds of candidate recruitment in different areas. You know, there's always moving parts this time of year and who's kind of running for what seats are going to be open. There's been some shifts over in the Senate that we've all seen, you know, and so new races are happening sort of everywhere. And so, yeah, we're back at it. You know, my fundraising is up and going for the 2026 campaign. So if anybody really loves the work that we're doing, you can always donate to us as individual candidates, or you can donate to the caucus as a whole, because, you know, we continue to do this work as a team, for sure.
Can you give out the address, how people can do that? Because it is time.
So you can go to my website. It's just heather4house.com, but it's the number 4 because I represent District 4A. So heather4house.com. We'll take you to my website. It's kind of under construction, adding some new things, but there is a donation link up in the corner up there that will take you right to the 2026 option. So we got money that we need to raise, because we also just need to make sure that our communities know how to vote, how to engage. There's a lot of federal shifts that are happening in that. So we want to make sure we can also share out quality information to our constituents as well.
Yeah, that's huge. I know it's really interesting that there's things happening. Also, I just want to ask quickly about what's your thoughts about somebody being able to I guess, break into the Capitol and be naked and then go back and do it again? What's going on at the Capitol here in St. Paul?
I mean, I think safety is a conversation that we're having everywhere. You know, I know for the House of Representatives, one of the things that we're doing to actually take action on this, you know, the Capitol itself is not something that we oversee necessarily, but we do oversee the state office building, which is where we all house our business. And that's under massive construction right now. You know, we're kind of placed off the grid a little bit because we are increasing our own security, our own safety within our committee rooms. And I think over and over, we're just learning that I think we lived in a really trusting world and we need to update how easy it is or how we assume people will want to lean into us. I think it's gross. Like, I think the things that some people do are really weird and really gross. But at the end of the day, I think we're more worried about our home safety and making sure that our loved ones are safe with us too, rather than weirdos, you know, around the Capitol.
You're funny. So I also want to lean into this, and then maybe the next segment too, we can talk about two feathers, but I always want to ask you, and I ask other people that are boots on the ground, what you are doing for your health, with your boys. I know you're in a relationship. And how do you keep centered? How does Heather keep centered in a good way? And how do you take care of yourself?
Well, why would you ask me such a question, Robert? I don't know, right? Like, I'm really good at taking care of other people. I think right now I find actually it's healing for me to take care of my team. It's kind of a joke, right? Because I tell everybody to drink water. I've been saying that, I feel like, since session. You know, I really am leaning into my sobriety. That's really, really important to me. You and I have talked a lot about that journey for me, and making sure that I stay grounded to that commitment to myself. Lately, I've been taking Elliot, my youngest, out, and we've been hitting the powwow trail. We were just in beautiful Michigan this last weekend, and we have been around. And so, you know, being with my little wonderful family is probably actually the most healing thing. I love plants. I'm a plant mom. Like, soil therapy is real for me. You know, I think therapy, I think a lot of people don't realize that leaning into ongoing therapy can be really helpful. I did that. You know, I leaned into the trauma response therapy because that was real, but also just the PTSD ongoing issues that we all kind of deal with. And so finding a good therapist, saying no, you know, those boundaries are really important, especially because this work will always leave us something to do. And we have to be able to say, no, I'm going to spend some time with my family or the people that I love the most. And so I'm really trying. I'm trying to practice what I encourage other people to do. But yeah.
I got to see you guys at Prairie. I got to see you guys at Prairie Island powwow. That was awesome. And it was funny because I don't think I've ever met your younger son, and he was there, and it was like, oh, wow. Hey, it's like, I was surprised.
It is kind of crazy, you know, cause I say often, like, my family and my kids share me with so many other people, but like people don't really ever get to know who my closest people are. And they are wonderful people. And I love that. Yeah. It was nice that you were able to sit and chat with us a bit.
Yeah. It's always good. And you know, I really believe too, when and if you ever have the capacity, you'll be a bigger part of Native Roots Radio too. So we look forward to that too, here at Civic Media, AM 950, and all over Turtle Island that listen to Native Roots Radio. So, you know, I really believe we always, that was crazy. I had an echo there. I don't know, you know, 70s, I'm a 64 years old and I don't remember much of the 70s, Heather, so sometimes I have these little flashbacks and things like that, and that might have just happened. Hey, we're here with State Representative Heather Keeler, and we got another segment with State Representative Heather Keeler, and this is Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back. Nation.
Nation.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, in this portion of the show, we always like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population by saying no to the wolf with a big howl. Howl!
Howl!
Hey, we are here with State Representative Heather Keeler of the great state of Minnesota, and we're just kind of chewing the fat and catching up. And one of the things, Heather, I really want to talk about here in this last segment, because we talk about,
are you going to talk about how great of a howler I just was? I feel like we should at least acknowledge that we harmonized on that howl pretty darn well, Robert.
That was good. Yes, I will back up. I'm just careful, Heather, because I don't want to stay state senator. So I'm just kind of blew by that real quick and try and get into the groove here. But yeah, what a great howl. And, you know, it's funny, too. Our lieutenant governor is in the wolf clan, too. We always like to bring that up when we talk about saving our wolves here in Minnesota. So no to the hunt. Mm-hmm. Hey, we were talking about you really working full time and getting part time, but that's not always the fact, too, because you have two feathers. And let's talk a little bit about and what you can do for the community. And if people are looking for, obviously, a great speaker or, you know, you could do the show without me, definitely. And so let's talk a little bit about your other business and how we can promote that and get people to hire you.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, right. We're always multidimensional people in what we do. And I'm so much more than just a representative. I have, it's a Native owned consulting business that's called Two Feathers, mainly because it was started with me and my mom to have conversations, in the educational sphere, the healthcare sphere, anybody looking to do community engagement. Really we talk about how you build strong, trusting relationships with your tribal partners, whether it's tribal nations, individuals in the urban Indian community, or your clients or the individuals that you serve, like patients or students within your organizations. And so we do a large different kind of menu of things. We take on long contracts and actually go in and do audits to see how you're serving your population. We've done that with universities and have created things like the Native Student Support Network, understanding that university systems, you know, can have a really great porch saying natives come to this college, but then the house isn't really made for them to be successful. And so we've gone in and helped do some trainings there. We've also helped lean into healthcare systems, understanding traditional healing, you know, partnered with cancer patients, different things like that, all the way down to then helping tribal nations understand maybe how they can be more frugal with their finances, making sure that they can reach their off-reservation population in a good way. And then all the way down to motivational and informational speaking. I do Indigenous-focused keynote speaking. My go-to is Indigenous 101, all the things you didn't learn in K-12. And I've been doing that for almost 14 years in adult settings. And it's crazy to me how just running through some of the basics is so enlightening to some of our adults who serve our Native population in some capacity. But then also I do a flip side of that is a motivational conversation around pain to purpose, you know, and using my own story, but also a lot of the other stories of the people I've loved and known along the way in my family and in my community that we've been dealt a pretty rough hand at times. And it's easy to stay in the pain of things, but giving the motivation to turn that into some purpose and really lean into the seven generation spread that we can pass down joy and healing and love too if we take care of ourselves. And so, yeah, that's what I do in the world. Would really, you know, love to do that a little bit more. It's complicated to work kind of both sides of the work that I do. But yeah, I think my deepest love is engaging our community and then working alongside our young youth for them to know what their options are and to become great leaders in this world through their pain and finding bigger purpose in that. So yeah, that's what I do in a nutshell, right on that side of the work.
Well, and again, what is the website and how can people get a hold of you? Because I can imagine to hiring you to come in and be a motivational speaker to our clients and things like that. that have the native twist. And again, you know, you kind of alluded to this. A lot of our allies don't know our story.
Yeah. And I really think, you know, this idea that, like, when we sit in a space with an open mind and an open heart to learn, then we're bound to do better. And it's been really interesting to watch organizations grow in really good ways and build really strong partnerships with tribal nations and tribal leaders and serve our capacity a little bit different. But yeah, so it's twofeathersllc.com. That's where you can go. You know, if there's dates or events that you have that you're looking for workshops or keynote speaking, that's what I can do. And the other thing about Two Feathers is it's not just me. I come with a pretty deep bench of other speakers, other artists, singers, dancers. You know, we can actually put an ongoing education series together, you know, every month for a year. We can have an entire symposium of individuals come in and do education systems. And so the beauty of it is that we create a unique opportunity for what your organization needs.
You know, wow, that's exciting. You know, a few years ago, you also, if I remember right, you also fostered babies, or what did you
do? I mean,
I saw you a little. Say that again. I think I talked over you.
Yeah, I was a licensed ICWA mom until, so like a little bit over a year ago, I chose to let my license go because it's a lot of work to do that and do all the other work. But yeah, I found it really important. You know, ICWA, which is the Indian Child Welfare Act here in Minnesota, we have MIFBA, which is the Minnesota Indian Family Preservation Act, that we deeply believe that it's our responsibility to care for, you know, the next generation. And I kind of tell myself and I tell others that the only way that that system works is that those of us who have a home and have an ability to love children open up our home to do that. It's not an easy job. It's really hard emotionally, but it's been one of the most meaningful responsibilities that I've been able to have over the last couple years, because not only my own nieces and my own relatives, but I've been able to love on, you know, about 20 babies in my home coming out of the hospital while we find them good family placements. I did that work for a really long time and actually really miss it.
I wanted to say, I remember, I don't know if it was we were doing a show or if we were doing something else, but you were watching a baby and the smile on your face was unbelievable. I'll never forget that. And because the baby was off camera and then you pulled the baby in, and it was like, oh my gosh, I didn't know you did that too. But yeah. So one more time, Heather, please, on how people can get a hold of you and, you know, in Two Feathers.
Yeah. So it's twofeathersllc.com, all spelled out. It's a pretty basic website right now, but there is a contact form if there's an event that you have or if there's any conversations that you would be interested in us coming in and having with you.
So we got less than a minute. Is there anything that you'd want to bring up here in this last minute and maybe talk to our people about staying safe or sane or whatever you'd like?
I think I'll share the same message that I literally share everywhere. And my team will tell you this. It's drink water. I know that like feels like a really simple thing to do, but our frontal lobe is where we, you know, respond with a lot of our emotions, and we're all dealing with a lot right now. Whether it's personally or the big picture, I mean, there's a lot of things that we're carrying. Be kind to one another, but most importantly, really be kind to yourself. Drinking water on a regular basis is a good health move. And also I want to encourage you all to like pick up the phone tonight and call somebody and just let them know you're thinking about them. Tell them how much you appreciate them. Let them know that what the work that they're doing in this world is good. Because I think we're spreading a lot of hate and a lot of fear and we're scared. And I think that as a community, we have the responsibility to uplift each other and that, check on your elders for sure. Lead with love.
Thank you so much, State Representative Heather Keeler. This has been Native Roots Radio.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
I'm Lady J, and this is my invitation to you to join KFAI for the second annual Blues Cruise. We'll be cruising and bluesing on Friday, August 29th at 7 o'clock p.m., leaving out of the Watergate Marina in St. Paul. Music by the Bambi Alexandra Blues Review. It's a fundraiser for KFAI, so your dollars will count twice as much. You'll pay your pledge and party with the Minnesota Blues Challenge winner. For more information, go to kfai.org/bluescruise.
Hadley.
We're two of the very first listeners, and we're
still listening to Native Roots Radio.
We love those guys. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we'd like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts.
No! Good one. Hey, welcome back, Wendy. I want to reintroduce you to my awesome, beautiful wife. Wendy has been an animal advocate for many years, and she's a co-founder of a Native Roots Radio in her ninth season. And you've been talking about our sacred animals for that long and have learned so much. And you happen to be the word of the day.
Yes. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani, which means cares for them. And I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds.
Two words.
Yeah. I'm a policy volunteer for Humane World for Animals, formerly known as the Humane Society of the United States. And I work on animal issues at the local and state level. It's always my pleasure to do that. And today I just have a, you know, plethora of things to talk about.
A plethora?
I like that word. Yeah, so I was just talking to my relative this morning out in New York, and they're having a heat wave out there now. So generally, our weather just kind of goes there in the next couple of days. So, you know, just to remind everybody who's listening out there in the East Coast to put out some pans of water for your wildlife critters in your backyard. Mm-hmm. I have some really, really cute pictures. You know, we had a heat wave here just a few days ago, and the heat index was over 100 degrees, but we saw those crows. Do you remember that? So what I have is I have like multiple bird baths in the backyard that are filled with water. And then I had just our hose on, like, I don't know, you know, just like mist, and I had that going, and I'm telling you, about six crows came by, and they were giving them, you know, they were like in the grass, like just like feathering off in the water, and one crow had its beak open, like its mouth open, so it must have been really good. Must have been really thirsty. But anyway, it really, just watching them out there in the water, getting cooled off, cleaning off their feathers, and just enjoying that cool water just really gave me a good feeling in my heart. So
right,
I'm happy to do that. And I know our water bill is going to be high, and it always is, because, you know, we give up. You know, I was like, I asked Robert, and I don't even know why I do this. So this is like too much information for everyone out there. But this is like what I do. I'll be like, you know, it's in the afternoon. It's like 98 degrees. And I'm like, I'm going to go. I always ask Robert, should I turn the water out? You know, put the, you know, sprinkler on out front. And Robert be like, no, not now. And I'd be like, I don't even know why I asked you, because I'm going to do it anyway.
I just say, no, it's going to evaporate in the air.
No,
so
but
hot.
I didn't do it for our plants. I did it for the birds and the animals out there. But anyway.
Well, and you proved your point, because we had, what, about four crows show up, just get a water bath.
Yeah. And like we had so many, the animals came to our front yard too, just to get cooled off. So I'm happy I did it. So I don't know why I even ask you, but
I don't either.
I don't know. I think
that's why
I don't
say
know what
no.
it is. I don't know. Some psychological problem I have.
It's
anyway,
awesome.
I'll have to ask the therapist. Yeah. Anyway, female octopuses. Female octopuses have been
Octopi?
No, they're octopuses.
Okay.
Have been observed throwing objects such as shells and silt at males that persistently try to mate with them and refuse to leave. So you go, girl. You tell them. You go, girl. You know, there's a Alaskan wood frog. I just read about this. I've never heard about this animal. It's a Alaskan wood frog. So what happens in the winter, like most frogs during the winter, they'll burrow under the ground and, you know, hibernate for the winter. This frog literally lets its body freeze. So it gets, it freezes solid in the winter. The heart, their heart stops breathing. They stop breathing. Their brain is silent. And then in the springtime, literally, they just thaw out alive in the springtime. And they just start hopping around just like nothing ever happened. I've never, ever have heard of anything like that. But that's just amazing, right? There's so many animals in this world that we have no idea about.
Right.
You know, and there's a lot of animals out there who have been deemed extinct, and then they suddenly find them again somewhere, you know. So I'm going to look into that because I want to find that. So I wanted to talk to you guys also today about dangerous foods for your dogs. Because, you know, sometimes I'm eating something and Wanda wants it, and I'm always like, oh, I don't know if she should have this. I don't know if it's good for her. I don't know, because dogs do not metabolize food or medications the same way we do. That's why you should never ever give your dogs any like medications before checking with your vet, because like ibuprofen, for instance, like could cause severe damage and the dog can die. So you never want to do that. But anyway, here's some foods that you should never let your dog eat. Grapes. Yeah, grapes can cause kidney failure.
Really?
Yeah, so you don't want them to have grapes.
I remember chihuahuas, my mom's chihuahua would eat grapes.
Well, it was back in the day before we knew all this and all the dogs died, you know? Onions or garlic.
Onions?
Onions and garlic, yeah, could cause anemia. Because it was one day I was eating hummus and I asked ChatGPT, can I give my dog hummus? And it said, well, if it contains onions or garlic, do not give it to him. Yeah, so like chickpeas they could eat if it's just plain. Yeah, so sugar-free foods like that have like aspartame and like artificial sweeteners, yeah, could cause seizures in your dog.
Crazy.
Unbaked bread. This can cause blockages in their intestinal tract. So if they had like, I guess, dough, if they ate dough, I don't know. Yeah. Fatty foods like avocado and bacon are not good. They can cause pancreatitis.
Ooh.
Yeah. I didn't know about the avocado. That's good to know. Of course, we knew coffee and chocolate. That can cause seizures. We don't want to do that. Yeah. Too much salt can also cause seizures.
Well, I feel bad. I gave her some of my chocolate malt.
Oh, you did. Yeah. You only gave her like a little.
Right.
You know, she didn't eat like a whole bunch. She just had a taste.
A little bit.
A little taste is fine.
Okay.
Dairy. Dairy is no good for your dog.
We don't have dairy in the house.
Well, we don't, because I'm vegan and I keep a vegan house, so we don't have any dairy. But that can cause digestive issues.
This is the vegan button.
Oh, okay. That's the vegan button. Yeah.
Okay.
We were trying to figure out how long I've been vegan. I don't know. I know it's so funny. I use Facebook as like my caliber of how much time has passed. So I'll be like, oh, that's a memory that came up on my Facebook page. It was 13 years ago. And oh, yeah, we were here. And I remember I was vegan then, you know. So, but I don't know how long, but it's been at least like 13 years, I think.
I think it's been about 16 now that I think of it.
Really? Maybe. Yeah. Could be. I'm not really sure. Anyway, it's been a long time. Yeah. Macadamia nuts. Temporarily inability to walk. I wonder what it is about a macadamia
nut,
you know? So Robert thinks I'm crazy, right? Because I have all these little critters out in the backyard. And what I did was I read on the internet and it made so much sense to me that, you know, if like in the very beginning of spring when there weren't a lot of flowers and things.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at kfai.org, non-commercial, community-powered radio.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic, please.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic.